You're all set to go.
Okay. So we're calling to order the special meeting of the statewide committee of wine vendors. Today's date is April 9, 2020. This meeting is being recorded. My name is Brian Sigmund. I am the director of BESBE, and I'm going to turn the meeting over to Edward Owens, the vending facility supervisor, to take a roll call.
Okay, roll call of the committee. Is Brandy here? No. Chad?
Present.
Is here. Steve Hillier? Shelley McDermott? Dave Pelagi?
I'm here.
Frank Roberts?
Here.
Angel Torres?
I'm here.
And Amos Fatorma?
Here.
Okay.
That confirms the quorum, Ed?
That confirms the quorum.
Hey, Ed?
Yes?
Do you mind if I interrupt you? I apologize. Is besides you, me, and Brian, and committee members, is there anyone else on the line? And Daryl listening? Is there anyone else? Thank you for letting me ask that.
Okay, so there are two agenda items. The first agenda item is food trucks at four rest areas during the national COVID-19 crisis. We were approached by Department of Transportation to see if we would be either in a position to provide food trucks or to waive our first right of refusal to provide food trucks. They named four particular rest stop locations, Danbury, Wallingford, Middletown, and North Stonington. These are locations that only have vending machines in them. There are some other locations, just so everyone is aware, that right now do not have anything other than vending machines. And the Truckers Association has brought to their attention the difficulties they're having in having meals for their truckers. Obviously, the 18-wheeler trucks are not able to pull up to a drive-through. Truck drivers are not allowed to get out of their trucks to walk up to a drive-through. And these truckers, who are basically keeping our infrastructure going right now, are needing meals. They need to eat. And so they came to us with this request, and it is of an urgent nature because, obviously, as we know, during this national crisis, we're counting on truckers to keep all the product, all the food, everything we all need moving throughout the day and night. So they've identified four locations. It is my recommendation for the committee to consider that if you are going to be deliberating on passing a waiver, that we don't just limit it to the four current requested locations, since there are other locations that only have our vending machines, which they may at a later date say, geez, we didn't realize we needed a food truck here as well, but the truckers are saying, you know, they're having a very difficult time finding anywhere to eat in this area. So I think that during this crisis, and this really is quite an unparalleled crisis in our history, that the committee contemplate what to do and whether or not you would feel comfortable issuing a waiver for the food truck request at rest stops in Connecticut during the duration of this national crisis. So with that, I'll turn it over to you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so what I have for knowledge on this from other states, what other states have done is they've allowed it this to temporarily happen for 30 days, and they have also made sure that there is no direct competitions with the vending machines. So I guess you would have to say any chips, beverage, candy bar, or pastry. And that's virtually all that they're doing. Some states are allowing the waiver, some have refused. So I think we should allow it, but maybe put the 30-day cap on it, and then if it if that 30 days comes near to expiring.
Sorry to interrupt. This is Shelley signing in.
Hey, Shelley.
Hi, Shelley.
Hi, Shelley.
Hi. Just so that the committee... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not sure if you're finished, Frank. Let me let you finish.
Well, I was virtually finished. I'm going to basically suggest the 30 days, and maybe when that nears expiring, we meet again, and hopefully this is all resolved in 30 days, but I have a feeling we'll have to meet again and just revisit it one more time.
Okay, so I guess that this is Brian again speaking, and I just want to call to the committee's attention that Connecticut has a somewhat more unique arrangement than some of the other states that perhaps you're hearing from weighing in that we have an arrangement where the Department of Transportation provides us with funding in lieu of our operation at some of the other rest areas where they have the food service facilities. And that's not an arrangement that typically exists in other states. And we also have a statewide vending contract that ensures that these vending machines are there. So to put any kind of a restriction that says a food truck cannot sell a beverage, I don't think is realistic, and I certainly don't think it's fair, because the truckers would still then need to vacate their truck and then go to the food truck to buy the things that aren't in the vending machine. And it just seems that during this COVID-19 crisis, for us to impose upon DOT or the truckers such an imposition when we're most concerned about making sure they get product and food to the delivery spots as rapidly as possible, it just at least feels to me that it's an unnecessary and perhaps unrealistic restriction to put. And then the only other thing I would indicate is that if you are passing a motion that says during the COVID-19 crisis, if the crisis is over in less than 30 days, then the waiver would end there. If the crisis lasts for 65 days or whatever it lasts as, you wouldn't need to reconvene. So to suggest that we need to put what could be an unnecessary cap when a motion to, if you will, tie this to the crisis would solve that very issue, it just seems that we might find ourselves having to call another meeting. And there's one other piece of very important information that you all need to be aware of, and that is that DOT is eager to see if the committee is prepared to issue this type of a waiver, but they are equally prepared under the emergency authority that is available through an executive order to seek a ceasing of 10-303 to, in essence, accomplish the authority absent the committee's vote. And I think it, frankly speaking, for myself as the head of the Bureau, I think it would be certainly a far better approach for the committee to demonstrate their willingness to be very strong community partners with DOT and the truckers right now than to pass a motion that could perhaps be seen as more limiting than what they were hoping to achieve from your meeting, and instead they found it necessary to seek an executive order that would, in essence, suspend 10-303 potentially on a much broader scale than just this one topic. So I ask you all to consider this in the broader scope of the national crisis we're under and the spirit of demonstrating that the Statewide Committee of Blind Vendors recognizes this unbelievable, challenging time we're in and wants to do anything possible to help during this time period. And Andrew, I know you as our legislative liaison have had some involvement and communications with DOT. If there's anything you feel you wish to add, by all means, do so.
I think I have a question for Andrew.
Yes.
I mean, maybe anybody can answer this. When Brian talked about crisis ending, is there a definitive line where we're not playing, well, it's kind of over, but we're still facing it, and this gets drawn out? I mean, we're talking about hearing things that this thing's going to come back in the fall worse. So could you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. One, neither I don't, and it appears that no other human in America knows exactly when this will come to an end. And you're right, if it does come to an end, when might it come back? And so a lot of emergency measures are going to last more than just a few weeks. Although Brian's right to point out that if all of a sudden it did end, and you put 30 days on it, then you still have the waiver longer than it needed to be. But more likely, it will last longer than 30 days. And I wouldn't think you'd want to keep coming back and having a meeting to extend it. One little side point, and then let me finish up answering your question, is I think other states have been perhaps more aggressive or defensive about waivers, because at those rest stops in so many other states, it's actually a blind person running the vending concession and earning their living directly from running the vending concession, and they're worried about Al or Jane being undercut. Now, we, of course, care about the income. These are major sources of income. We care. But it isn't a person, a blind vendor, who is injured by the intrusion of this additional commerce. It's the best to be accountant. That's not great, but it's not a person that you need to stick up for, that you can look at and name. And so I think we are a little bit freer to not be as defensive. I did want to say, I just wanted to get that out there. But as far as your point of when this will end, I don't really know. But I did want to underscore that in the last couple of days, and this just started a couple days ago, from the DOT, and of course the Federal Highway Administration, I believe, only put this out there on Friday, and it's filtered down to the states, and the Truckers Association hit up the DOT, and so the DOT began quickly putting together a draft executive order to lift some legal restrictions they had for this allowing food trucks, and they were proposing to waive all of 10-303, our law, as well. We have been scrambling to say to them, you don't need to waive this whole law. We can get a waiver for you that we think would be more limited, but get done everything you need to have done. So, frankly, I've been representing to the DOT, please don't have the governor order a waiver of 10-303. We can accommodate you. If we cannot, if we give a waiver that's rather limited, then I'm pretty sure they'll go ahead and get the governor to do it, and I'm pretty sure the governor will agree. In which case, the waiver, whether or not Coke is involved, I mean, whether you can sell soda or whether it's 30 days, won't even be an issue. 10-303 will be erased. Yeah. That's what I think will happen.
Yeah.
Do Ed or Brian disagree with that? Or?
Well, this is Brian weighing in.
This is Ed Owens. I just want to give you an idea of what I see as the time frame. In the federal government, there's a prohibition of over-the-counter sales at these 7 rest areas. They only chose 4 of them right now. The other 2 are East and West Willington and Southington. Under normal circumstances, you're only allowed to have vending machines. The Federal Highway Administration came out, as Andrew said, I believe like last Friday, saying that we understand that there's this prohibition, but we're not going to enforce it while there is a national crisis. So the national crisis began when President Trump announce the national crisis. Once the country comes and says the national crisis is no longer in effect, then what they're saying is the prohibition to only vending machines comes back.
Okay.
So I think to put the parameters on it, the federal government would have to say there's no longer a national crisis.
Yeah. And this is Brian. Just to Andrew asked me to sort of respond or weigh in to the comments he just made. I'm sorry, did somebody just join us?
Yeah.
We had two. I'm sorry, what?
I accidentally hung up.
Oh, okay. Did somebody else join us as well?
Okay. Probably him coming back.
Okay, no, that's fine. So Andrew asked if I could, what Andrew is describing is right now under the emergency authorities the governor has, he can issue executive orders that allows for certain what would be perceived as obstacles to accomplishing what needs to be accomplished under emergency circumstances to be put in place. So an executive order, you may have seen in some executive orders, as an example, close all retail stores in certain categories. As you know, they're just closed. The executive order said they're closed. Other executive orders have been issued describing certain other restrictions or requirements or temporary halting of statutory authorities in order to allow for the safety and the well-being of the public during this crisis. Andrew is describing a potential scenario where if there was an executive order that was deemed to be needed to waive 10-303 during this crisis, the implications of such an executive order could go certainly far beyond just talking about the rest areas, because as you know, 10-303 gives broader priorities to individuals that are blind to run vending facilities. It allows us to put vending machines in public properties. So I think that from a standpoint of not just good public policy from the Statewide Committee of Blind Vendors to demonstrate how committed you all are as good partners with DOT under these incredible circumstances, the possible implications of an executive order could be far more reaching than just talking about food trucks at rest stops during a national crisis. So I know, you know, you are free as the committee to make whatever motion you want. All I can do is advise you what I believe is in the best interest of the program as a whole and the best interest of making sure that the public in general is as safe as possible and that the truckers have food so that they can continue to be, you know, driving the long hours they are driving to get product everywhere that product needs to get to right now. So I would be recommending that you perhaps contemplate passing a motion that during this national COVID-19 crisis that the committee would be waiving the first right of refusal for food trucks to go to the rest areas in Connecticut as DOT those rest areas to be identified.
Okay. I didn't know you were...
Ed, I have one other comment on DOT. We talk about being good partners with them. DOT pays us $650,000 a year for commissions on the locations that we don't have vending machines at. And if we want to be good community partners with them, I think we should cooperate with them now. I was wondering how we would, you know, fare, because each month I get a deposit from the DOT, and the one for this month just came over for the full amount, the $54,000. So even though their sales have been impacted in some way, I'm sure it hasn't affected our commission that we get.
I guess I don't want to sound like I'm not interested in being a good contributor to the community, My only question is, how do we handle as far as the rest stops when the food trucks are there? Are we not going to have the vendors load the machines anymore? Because are you saying they don't want people in the rest stops? Is that what we're saying?
They're not saying that they don't want people in the rest stops, because the rest stops would be where the bathrooms are and all, and they're going to have to walk by the vending machines. I think this is to supplement the vending machines such that there's some type of hot meal or something other than what our vending machines provide.
Okay. So does anyone
sorry. The conversation with DOT has not included any discussion or desired wish on their part to close the vending machine operations down. They have not said that. And, you know, I just want to say that I worry that if we see, by the way, it's the case that DOT was already working on trying to get an executive order waiving our statute. We're very much hoping that by acting today, we can forestall that. But it's still possibly in the works. And we're desperate to try to stop that from happening, because if there's a broad waiver, and I don't know quite what it'll read like, but if there's a broad waiver, then who knows? People at DMV might say, oh, you know what, we could do a food truck in the park. People at the DEP might say, oh, you know what, we could do a food truck in the, or whatever, and injure more than just these non-operator locations, but injure operator locations off into the future. And they may decide, you know, we love these food trucks. Why did we ever do this BEP stuff and try to change the law altogether? I don't know. But I'm just very afraid that this could go farther and injure us long-term far more than this one waiver would. And so I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I did want to add that thought.
I was going to say that it would go a long way showing that we are open-minded and, you know, willing to step forward in allowing this to happen. It would show good faith in our program, because they're already threatening to try and take away the rest areas from us before, weren't they?
They're closing.
I think it would be a sign of good gestures. I mean, those truckers, they got a hard road. And the rush areas are shut down right now. They can't even go in here and take showers.
Yeah. Is there any other discussion, or do you want to move forward with a motion to waive the restrictions?
I would move forward to waive the restrictions.
Do I have a second?
I second.
Shelley second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed say no. Any abstentions? Motion carried.
Okay, so just to be clear that the wording of the motion, because I think that it was I who sort of crafted it, and I just want to be sure that that is indeed the motion Chad made and Shelley seconded, you all passed, and the motion is that during the national COVID-19 crisis that the committee is waiving the first right to put food trucks at rest areas in the state of Connecticut.
Correct.
Brian. Excuse me, this is Shelley. I wonder, since Ed gave in some clarification on what the terminology means, should we then put in there that the federal government deemed it a national crisis?
Well, by saying it's a national crisis, that's exactly what that means.
Okay, okay.
The national COVID-19 crisis.
Okay.
I think that, you know, there's no other way to interpret that. Yes, I would say. Andrew, I mean, do you see any
No, I mean, I just think that the letter as drafted is clear and succinct, and while we can't all know exactly what it means when the crisis is over, for that very reason, we can't quite control it. So I think that the letter states it well.
So the national COVID-19 crisis, just to confirm, does refer to the federal declaration, because that's what the national...
No problem.
Okay. All right. So, Ed, you have the capturing of that motion then?
Yeah, during the national crisis.
The national COVID-19 crisis.
And there's nothing anybody recommends to add to the motion to cover our ass, if you will.
I think this is pretty comprehensive. I feel that there's no misunderstanding. It's clearly recognized the COVID-19 national crisis, and when that crisis is lifted and the restrictions are lifted and business goes back to normal, I think that this motion makes it clear that this is to cover this time period.
Yeah.
I understand your concern, Frank, but I don't believe that this motion says, you know, until further notice or anything that could be misinterpreted. I do believe you've done your due diligence to narrow its scope.
Okay.
So with that agenda item being concluded, the next one is, Frank, you had said some of the committee members wanted to put on the agenda a discussion of the program staffing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the next agenda item. I don't know if you, Frank, want to lead it or however you want to proceed. I can certainly, I am familiar with what the topic is because you told me, so if you prefer me to jump in and then kind of explain what's going on, I would be happy to do that.
I guess we're really concerned about the fact that we already have two field reps sitting doing nothing during the crisis, and we have two more field reps being hired to come in to basically sit around. I mean, I know you can train them, but when 3 weeks come and go and they run out of things to do, they're just sitting around collecting a paycheck. And this program is here for blind operators to make a living, and we're the only ones not making a living.
I have a question on that. This is Shelley. Just to be clear, one person has already been hired, is that correct?
No, that's not correct, Shelley. They both were hired.
Both are already employed already.
They are employed. They are both employed. You need to reflect back on when the vacancies occurred. The program had already moved forward with getting approval to fill the vacancy that was created by Nick's retirement. And then when Tina left, we already had the approved list and had already done interviews, so that the committee had already made the recommendations for first, second, third choice, what have you. And so Human Resources was then in a position to move very rapidly to fill both of the vacancies. So the vacancies got filled ahead of some of the things we're talking about. And that's part of the issue, is that it's not really possible to roll back hiring offers when people have accepted and made career decisions around it. I think that we would all agree that the timing of circumstances made it really unfortunate, but we're also using this opportunity when the facilities are not operational to try to get these field reps very familiar with all the requirements of the program, particularly since Ed is leaving. And
that's my next bullet I wanted to address, right? Because this is an opportunity to get people versed in how things are running versus them learning on the fly when everything is getting back up and going.
Exactly, exactly. And right now there are many, many unanswered questions in terms of the federal reporting requirements and things even for all of you and what incentives you might be entitled to get. And I know we have a telemeeting next Thursday to address some of the things I've sent out, which hopefully you've had a chance to review those documents on some of the incentives that are being passed by Congress and are available at the state level. But our goal is to make sure that these folks are not idle, but they're utilizing the technologies that are available for the staff that are remote working to become really cognizant. And maybe even once they're, you know, cognizant of what they're doing, have all four field reps working with each of you to help connect you with some of the benefits that you may be entitled to get but aren't 100% certain how to pursue getting those benefits.
Yeah.
So that they can be leveraged based on assignment to, like, okay, so this field rep has these three operators or four operators or whatever, and we begin that process of rapid assistance. So that if you're not sure where to proceed, and maybe they don't know right away, but they could be charged with making some of those phone calls, assisting you with some of those forms that may need to be filled out. You know, that's right. How I'm seeing that they could be very productive, even though the facilities themselves are not open. And keep in mind that if the facilities suddenly get authorized to reopen, let's say during the month of May in some capacity, you may all need some level of assistance beyond just what you have that you can accomplish in order to reconnect with suppliers and identify suppliers that are even available to provide product. And I think these field reps could be of immense assistance in coordinating with each other to say, hey, we know that XY field rep, he's got sandwich meat. So let's work out some sort of an arrangement to be sure that the locations that are opening to serve sandwiches have access to sandwich meat, because I don't envision, I could be wrong, but I don't envision that the day it's declared the crisis is over that the infrastructure will resume as if nothing happened. I think
you will
find the infrastructure is going to need to have some time to ramp back up. The production and shipping and receiving and all the companies that have been impacted, they all need to re-engage in the economy. So I feel these field reps can be of use, but they've just kind of come on board because, you know, people, they accept the jobs, they have to give notice, some give 2 weeks notice, some give 4 weeks notice to their other place of employment. So they're really just now delving into the assignments that Ed and Tracy have given them.
So I have another question, Shelley again. Have they introduced themselves to us via internet? Well, I know I haven't been alerted of who is what and who's going on, or how is that going to be done? Who is assigned to who, or just introductory type of thing?
No, there hasn't been initially, this is Ed talking for the record, there hasn't been any reassignments, because when new people come in, we like to give them time before we assign them to specific facilities, just for the purpose of understanding the entire program. One of the individuals is just starting, and he's going to be picking up his laptop very soon. It was just fixed today, so he, like the rest of us, is going to have access to everything, you know, from a remote site. So it's not as though he's going to be sitting home without anything. He's going to be accessing, there are certain training materials that Mississippi State has online. There's all of our information online, all of our rules and regulations. There's a lot of things for them to go on, and then once they are on board, I will get their contact information and include them on any type of teleconference that the staff has.
Question, you're saying he. Can we know who these people are? Well, I don't know.
You can.
First one is Joel Garcia, and the second one is Jesse Towell.
Okay.
And could you give us any background of where they're coming from, or that's not really?
Well, they both have very, very strong backgrounds in food service. One of them was running a food service for a major operation, you know, for years, and the other one was more training, going around the country for one of the employers that he had. So training and actually running like cafeteria style businesses is what their strengths are.
You all still there?
Yep.
I just thought I lost y'all. I'm sorry. Can I just finish this one thought? And then I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just wanted to finish this thought, piggybacking on Ed. I think that you are all bringing up very, very salient concerns. And unfortunately, the timing of the COVID-19 pandemic has actually impacted in other areas of other state agencies as well, that there have been hiring commitments that were made and people that have come on board across a variety of programs, even in our own state agency. So it's not unique to BEP, and I just felt that was important for you to be aware of. I feel that because this is such an unusual national emergency that we've never encountered anything like it, that we're trying to adjust as rapidly as we can to the dynamics of this situation. And so I don't want to minimize, even for a minute, that your points are 100% legitimate to raise. I just wanted you to understand that sometimes things that were put in motion before this hit, it's awfully hard to kind of put the reversals on it when you're already, you know, that thing has already moved forward. Thank you. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, this is Shelley. I just wanted to kind of piggyback what Brian and Ed are saying. It's true, we kind of live in our own little BEP bubble, so we think everything that's going on sometimes, I shouldn't say we, some people do think whatever is going on only affects us. The entity is BEP or, Randolph Shepherd. It's affecting everybody. Sometimes we need to look outside of our own little box.
I hope that addresses it, and I really do appreciate your concern and your due diligence. And I think that, you know, frankly, as soon as these folks have got their laptops, and we'll be talking about it at the next Thursday meeting, perhaps we could even arrange for them to be on that call. I can talk to Ed and Tracy about seeing if that would be a possibility. But I do envision having all four of the field reps being of assistance to all of the vending facility operators in helping to understand what the programs are that exist out there, and assisting you in getting connected to whatever you might be eligible to go and apply for. Hello?
What? This is going to be awesome.
I don't know what
Hello?
That was. Sorry. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Can you all hear me still?
Yep.
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know whose phone that was. It was a very odd noise. But but anyway, I hope that will show you that they will be able to be of immediate assistance. And this is something that I think, you know, reading through some of this information myself, I think that having individuals that are dedicated and assigned to working with each of you, so you know who's going to be the person you could turn to say, help me understand this, help connect me with Department of Consumer Protection or Department of Economic and Community Development or whomever it might be, so that you then can go towards getting whatever assistance might be available.
Well, again, I'm sorry, this is Shelley again. I have a question. So moving forward, some of us already everyone else already has existing field reps, I guess. Now the other two new people, I'm assuming, are going to be distributed more people or take off the other two. So moving forward with these new plans of what we need to figure out going forward on how to get assistance, that may be out there for us, is it going to be based on who our reps are or who the reps are as a whole and what tasks they may be best versed in to help us as a unit?
Ed, I guess I'd defer to you for if you have an answer today. That may be something you need to kind of deliberate on.
Well, I think the staff up till now has always been, you know, whoever has a strong suit in something would help with it. As far as what's available and out there now, I think the best thing that the operators can do is file for unemployment right now, go through that process, and get it started. As long as you're not on SSI, because that could have a negative effect on that. But I don't think if you can go on the labor website and at least apply for it, I think that would be beneficial, because not only do you get, you know, what the state unemployment rate would be, you get the additional monies from the federal government during this crisis.
Well, on that scenario, I don't know how many of us have actually done that process, but I know Dave Pelagi has, and Dave has yet to receive any checks. God knows how long it will take to receive a check. So I was wondering, I know that there's other states that have done the same. Is there anything that we can do to help bridge that gap? Because just like the truckers have to eat, the blind operators have to eat, and they have no income. It doesn't have to be a high figure, just $1,000 to help them put food on the table. Can we do something like that?
How? Via unemployment or via BEP?
BEP.
I have actually asked to see some language around how some other states are addressing that. Apparently, there has been some methodology by which some of the other states have been able to provide some amount of money in addition to the fair minimum. And with the fair minimum, the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind is seeking certain waiver authorities from Rehab Services Administration to see if the requirement to have Rehab Services Administration approve an increase to the fair minimum could be waived during the crisis, so that the state could perhaps on its own reestablish a fair minimum at a higher level than what it currently is. So those are things I'm still trying to get answers to see how other states have accomplished something. One of the other states mentioned that they were able to do something through vacation pay, but I'm not sure what it is, and until I see the language and I have, you know, some understanding of how they did it, I wouldn't be able to go beyond that other than to say I have raised the question.
So there's no motion that we could make until you get that kind of language, correct?
And it may not even require a motion. It may be
okay
that if I see that another state has used such and such authority in the Randolph-Shepard Act to do it, and ours could use the same authority, then I don't necessarily think it even would require a motion if it's just an authority we're allowed to use. I think that the fair minimum, right now the fair minimum requires the federal government to approve the increase, and we're seeking a variety of waiver authorities to be granted by the federal government right now, this being among them, so that it would allow the state to not have to seek federal authority to change the fair minimum, which, as you know, I believe it's $20,000, and our fair minimum is set up in a particular way that you know, we sort of match so that you're brought up to $20,000. And certainly under this scenario, I think we are envisioning that most operators are going to pursue and qualify, but $20,000 for an operator who's making, you know, potentially four times more than that during good economic times, we recognize that's not in and of itself the solution by itself. It's a piece, but we're looking to see what else might be available. And some of these incentives that have been passed through the federal stimulus package, some of the incentives at the state level, they might also provide substantial relief. But I think we're all trying to sort out just what those will do for each of you. And that's why I think that the field reps would be the best leverage to take the volume of time that would be required to sort through it, to ask the questions of whoever entities they need to get those answers to, so they can give you the best possible guidance on that.
So how long is that going to take? I mean, I'm sure there's operators that are really looking for cats in hand.
Well, we have this meeting next Thursday, and we will invite them to be part of this meeting. In the meantime, between Ed and Tracy, you know, they are learning their jobs and being brought up to speed on the requirements, and I will make sure that Ed and Tracy forward to them this information so that they can start studying it as well.
So hi, Brian. So shall we have a question? Is someone else talking? I'm not sure.
I was just finishing my thought, which was, so I think by next Thursday, when they're on the call, there'll be some opportunity to, you know, have some dialogue around where do we go from here in providing that level of assistance.
Okay.
This is Ed. Just one other comment. Some things I've heard on national conference calls, like Brian said, some states were giving vacation time and whatnot. And the question was raised, which nobody hasn't had an answer to on the conference call, that to look in, how does receiving some type of vacation or some type of stimulus from an agency affect the operator's ability to collect unemployment? You know, so that's a question. If you're getting unemployment plus $600 from the federal government,
I say that
might be your best option.
Yeah, I hear that. It's just, it could take months to see that. That's all. That's my big.
I know. Irregardless, it's going to take months. It's such a backlog at labor.
Yeah.
Right now, that they're saying they're at least 5 or 6 weeks out.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for clarification, Brian or Andrew, if anyone would know. Ed also. Shelley again. The information, like you're saying, the field reps are going to help us, you know, filter through and see who's best with applying for. Do you guys have an answer to this, though? Is this stuff going towards as long as the monies are available, or, you know, first come, first serve, or does everybody, you'll be approved, and you'll be approved for whatever you get approved for?
From what I've seen on the small business loans, it's first come, first serve.
Okay.
And a lot of those small business loans, especially the paycheck protection, I don't believe will apply to any of the operators, because you have to maintain your payroll during that period. And nobody's paying all of their employees right now.
Okay.
So
the best it would be just the unemployment for right now to get started.
And in some of the things, it's either or. Either you get this or you get that, but you don't get both.
Right.
And the stimulus checks, I guess, are going to be coming out hopefully within the next couple of weeks. So that'll give at least some money to everybody.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask if maybe there could be a motion to adjourn, only because I know the folks at DOT are eagerly awaiting the decision. And I think that we do have the meeting next week where this is clearly the agenda item that I know everyone wants to discuss. And we want to be able to give you the very best answers to the questions that you have, but in order to do that, I think that Ed and myself and Tracy need to have a meeting, a telemeeting, in which case we can put some things in place. So I'm not trying to minimize your concerns and the questions you have. It's just I don't know that right now we have those answers, but yeah, we know what your questions are that would allow us this week in order to formulate some responses.
Okay.
Yeah, before I ask for a motion to adjourn, just everybody on the phone, keep in mind, send Ed the questions for next week's meeting.
And please copy me in if you wouldn't mind. I'd like to see them as well.
Okay. And just one other thing, we haven't posted the agenda for next meeting yet. Do you yeah, still want to start it at 4 o'clock?
Yeah.
I think we could
start
it earlier.
All right.
Only because I need Daryl to record the meeting, and Daryl actually comes into the office specifically for the purpose of recording the meeting, and I think if you, as long as, you know, since folks sadly right now aren't at a business location, I know it was set for 4 o'clock, but
I can go a little earlier, but I'm still trying to function my businesses. So.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Daryl, are you able to remotely record? Like, if you dialed in from a remote location, would you be able to do what you need to do, or do you need to be in the office? I think Daryl may have stepped away. All right, well, we'll go with the 4 o'clock, and I guess we will work to solve the issue from our perspective, because, again, since there are executive orders, we have to record the meeting and then post an audio transcript of the meeting. But we'll keep it at 4 o'clock. That way, Frank, I'm glad to hear you still have, you know, things that you're doing, and let's make that your highest priority.
Yeah, it's not what it was, trust me. But
yeah, no, I know. But still, I think it's very important, because there's people that are counting on you for the food that you're able to bring in, and so we will make that the highest priority, and we will figure out on our end. So 4 o'clock next Thursday. Get your questions to Ed and I. Ed will draft up an agenda to go through you, Frank, to make sure that, you know, it's covering for agenda items what you were looking for. And at this point,
right? I'll be here Thursday at 4. This is Daryl. Next Thursday at 4 o'clock, I'll be here.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, thank you, Daryl.
Okay.
We all appreciate it.
No problem.
All right. Can I ask someone to make a motion to adjourn?
Okay. I'm going to wait for you.
Shelley, make a motion to adjourn.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Who was the second? Okay. All right.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Thank you guys for calling in.
Thank you all. Have a nice afternoon. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.